All right, Romans chapter number 8, and we're going to look at a few verses here, and I've really extremely enjoyed going through this new Christian series and going through these basic Bible beliefs here and looking at different things, and appreciate you being here. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse number 14 and 15. What we're going to look at this morning is the salvation doctrine of adoption. When you got saved, you were adopted. When a person trusts Christ as his Savior, he is adopted into the family of God. And Romans chapter number 8, verse 14 through 15 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of" what? Are y'all there? "Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." This thing of salvation, man, God did a lot of wonderful things for us the day that He saved us. And we got birth into the child as a child of God, into His family, and He adopted us into His family. Now, out of all the families in the world that you'd want to be a member of, there is none greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go over a list of all the big name families in the world that you think you might want to be a part of, or even your own family, but there's none better than that of the Lord Jesus Christ and His family. Look over at John chapter number 1. Turn over to John chapter number 1. When you got saved, your born again spirit and your saved soul were taken out of this world system under the devil and you were put into Jesus Christ as one of God's sons. John chapter number 1, and we're going to look at verse number 12 and 13. John chapter 1 and verse number 12 through 13. When you find a place, say amen.
Amen.
John chapter 1, verse number 12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." We were born again. We were born into God's family. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter number 3. All these things that we're covering as we go over here and look through these salvation doctrines, every single one of them point to this thing that we believe as independent Baptists, as Bible believers, in eternal security. All these things took place the very moment that you got saved. It has taken us weeks and weeks to study these salvation doctrines, and we're not done yet. We still have got a handful of them left to do. And we've been studying them Sunday school after Sunday school, all the things that Christ did for you the day you got saved. And you know when He did all that? The very moment that He saved you. All these things took place the very moment that He saved you. Sarah and I this morning were coming into church, and we were talking about Ella. She's got another loose tooth. And man, it's exciting all over again. She's already lost two of them, but whenever one gets loose, it's just exciting all over again for her. And she don't do blood well. I don't do blood well. But she started wiggling it, talking about it, and Sarah said she's got some, I guess it's called the fifth-year molars. Is that what it is? Starts coming in the back, and I said, well, is it pushing other teeth out? She's like, no, it's teeth that just come in when they turn about five or six. And I said, man, how in the world can someone say there is no God? Who could design something like that, that when they turn five, some extra teeth are going to come in that you're going to need later on? Amen? That there is a God. I don't know how people say there's not a God, or all this stuff just happened by accident. And that same God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He came in the person of His Son to die on the cross for our sins. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." So look at verse 2. "Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The very moment that you got saved, you became a child of the King. And again, I said it earlier, man, all the kingdoms of this world and all the systems of this world, our big families of this world, you think about Bill Gates, and you think about the Walton family, where all this money comes from, and you say, man, it'd be neat to be a member of that family. Well, I'm telling you, if you're saved, you're a member of the greatest family in the world. Not only is this family, God owns the cattle, I said, on 1,000 hills, and he's got these mansions, and man, God has never sweated money. He's never. Whenever the economy goes down, whenever gas prices go up, whenever milk goes up, God never sweats at one time. He's never worried about it. The Bible says that you've never seen God's children begging bread. Someone that lives right, that serves God, that stays in church, that's faithful to the house of God, God's going to provide and take care of every one of their needs. Why? Because you're His sons. You're His daughters in Christ. And He's going to take care of you. There's, you know, some families here, and even my own family. I've got some brothers and sisters that have come on hard times, and they got out of church, and things just seem like they're falling apart all around them. They never have enough money. They're always needing this and needing that, and just, you know, just falling apart. You say, man, why don't you get back in church, get back where God is? God will take care of all those things. You say, Brother Andrew, do you have needs and things? Yes, I do, and God takes care of every one of them. I have needs right this very minute. And you know what? I'm just trusting God's going to take care of it. He's my Heavenly Father. I love Him. I serve Him. I give my life to Him. He's going to take care of those things. And once you got saved, you can say that you're a child of a King. When someone says, who's your father? You can say, my father's a King. He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. That's my Father. You were adopted into the family of God. Look at John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Now, the Bible tells us and says that salvation is of the Jews. The Jewish people, that is God's chosen people. Those are His people. In the Old Testament, you keep seeing the children of God. The children of God is talking about the Jews. John chapter number 4 and verse number 22. John chapter, you there, say amen. Ye worship, you know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is what? Of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. Look at Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. The Jews were His chosen people. Salvation was of the Jews. Back in the Old Testament, And even during Christ's earthly ministry, if someone wanted to be saved, they had to do what the Jew had to do to be saved. They had to keep the commandments. They had to anything the Jew had. The salvation was of the Jews. That was God's chosen people. A matter of fact, if you go back and look in Matthew, I don't know what verse it is exactly off the top of my head, but when God's talking to His disciples, He said, "Do not go to the Gentiles." He said, "Don't go to them. Go to the lost house." The lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told those Gentiles, "Don't even go to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were nothing but dogs. That's how the Jews viewed them. The Jews were God's chosen people. Man, that was the people He loved. He cared for, and He did love the whole world. But that was His people, and He came to them. And that's why when you read in the book of Luke, I believe it is, in some places it said, "For Christ died for many." It doesn't say all. And the reason is that they saw the light of it that Christ came to die for the Jews. But in the book of John, we see that He died for the whole world, that He died for everybody. And we see that now that we have the complete canon of Scriptures. But the Jews were God's chosen people. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse number 2. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 2. Look at verse number 1 to start off with. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. God chose the Jews to be His earthly family, and He gave them the Word of God. God chose that for them. Look over Ephesians chapter number 2. So that's the family of God. That's what God chose. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11 through verse 13. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now, as you're studying through the Bible, if you see that term circumcision and uncircumcision, that's referring to the Jews and Gentiles. The Jews were those of the circumcision. That was a part of what they had to do, what was to be circumcised. So Jews circumcised, they viewed the Gentiles as being uncircumcised. And as being, so if a Gentile wanted in the Old Testament, or even during Christ's earthly ministry, if he wanted to be saved under the Jewish program, he had to be circumcised, regardless of how old they were. That was just a part of it. And so Paul here said, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. So the Jews were calling them uncircumcised in the flesh made by hands. Verse number 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of what? Of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. You were a stranger to God's family. You're just a lost Gentile dog at that point. But look at verse number 13. But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. When He saved you, you're no longer a stranger. You're no longer just an uncircumcised Gentile. But we have a spiritual circumcision. Y'all remember us studying that? That spiritual circumcision takes place on the inside. And so now we're no longer just this lost, uncircumcised Gentile. God saves us. That spiritual circumcision takes place. And we're adopted into the family of God. That word Abba, we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, where it said Abba, Father. That is the Hebrew word for Father. And this verse mentions both the English word and the Hebrew word for Father. And He becomes our Father. Look at Galatians chapter 3. The book of Galatians chapter number 3. If I'm going too fast, just slow me down. Galatians chapter 3, and look at verse number... See where I'm going to go to. Verse 29. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. It says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When you got saved, you were placed into a genealogy that goes all the way back to Abraham. And Abraham was the father of the Jews. And spiritually speaking, man, God placed us into His family. Man, what a family to be a part of. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 2. I know we're turning to a lot of places here, but there's a lot of verses here that goes over this. Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter number 2, look at verse number 28 and 29. In a sense, the saved Gentile is a spiritual Jew. A spiritual Jew. Romans chapter 2, verse number 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one what? Inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So, spiritually speaking, now there's folks that teach that once you get saved, that the church, the body of Christ today, completely replaces the Jew. That is not the case. We don't completely replace them. There's some folks that teach that the Jews have been completely replaced. They're irrelevant. God's not going to deal with them anymore. And that now the body of Christ gets all their promises, all their land promises and all that. That is not the case. The Jews are still God's chosen people. Even after Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, was saved, and God called him, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, he still went to the Jew. He still said to the Jew first. He still understood that that was God's chosen people. And that's one of the reasons it's important for us as a church to pray for Israel and to help the Jews and to support Jewish ministries. And we do have a missionary we're picking up. He'll be here next month to present the work, and we're going to start supporting them. And it's our responsibility to pray for them. You say, well, why does people say pray for Israel? That's still God's chosen people. And we got in on it because the Jews did end up rejecting Christ. They put him on a cross, and then God opened salvation up to everybody by grace through faith, the Jew and Gentile in one body. But we got in on the thing, but we got adopted into the family of God. Before we got saved, we were not of the family of God. We were strangers. We weren't a part of it. We didn't get the benefits of salvation. We didn't get none of those things. But once we got saved, man, we can now talk to God our Father. And we have all the benefits of being in the family of God. Look at Galatians chapter 3. So we're not the day you got saved, none of us became physical Jews. You didn't become a Jew just like that. Amen. Sometimes wish I was. They're really good with making money. I mean, you go, a Jew can make some money, can he not? They can get in. They know how to do it. They know how to work. And make money there. They're very good at it. But we did not become a physical Jew. But spiritually speaking, on the inside, when God circumcised the circumcision of the heart and cut the soul and the flesh away from the body, man, we became a Jew inwardly. We became a part of the family of God. Look at Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 27 and 28. Galatians 3, verse number 27 and 28. Let me see. We'll start here. Look at verse 26. For ye are all the what? Children. The children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's another one of the things we study, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus. In a sense, the saved Gentile is a spiritual Jew, but in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all just members of His body, the body of Christ. The inward man of a person when they're saved, the inward man that is formed on the inside of a person at salvation is adopted into God's family. But the outward man has to wait for that adoption to take place. And again, as we're studying all these salvation doctrines, I hope you can see that this old sinful flesh on the outside is still lost. And that's an important thing to understand, because Paul talks about putting your body in subjection. And he said, I die daily. Now the new man's saved, the new man's perfect, the new man's sinless, but this old flesh on the outside, we got to get up every day and look in the mirror and say, sucker, you're not going to win today. You're not going to get the victory today. I'm not going to let you do anything that doesn't please Christ. And your flesh is going to get, you're going to get in the car and go to work, wherever you're going to go for the day, and your flesh is going to want to turn on that music that doesn't please Christ. Or turn on that television show that blasphemes our Christ and blasphemes our God. And that's the part of your life every day as a Christian that you struggle with, is that old man. You got two natures. You got the inside man that loves the Bible, that loves praying, that loves talking to Abba Father, that loves church, that loves all those things. Then you got the old man. And he enjoys those things of the flesh, those things that doesn't please Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse number 23. I got to turn and talk. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the what? waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Our new man, the inward man, has been adopted into the family of Christ. Christ came to live inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. We're seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus right now. But this old flesh, it's still waiting to be adopted. Amen? And that's why you've got to whip it into subjection, and you've got to do you've got to deal with that thing every single day. You've got to deal with that. The outward man has to be transformed into a sinless, glorified body like Christ has before His adoption can take place. Look at Romans chapter 8. We're still right there. Romans 8. Look at verse number 29. Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So this old body on the outside, this outward man, before this flesh can get adopted and go to heaven, it has to be changed. Why? Because it's wicked. Our mind is wicked. Our flesh is wicked, and all those things. Look over at 1 John chapter 3. So as we're going through here and looking at this thing, I hope you can see by this new man being saved, and it's the part that's perfect, it's the part that's sinless, it's the part that's eternally secure. But this old man is still the one we deal with. And so when a person sins and they mess up and they falter and they fail and they do something they shouldn't do, you say, man, I didn't think a saved person could do that or would do that. Well, the saved part of him didn't. It's that old flesh. It's that old nature. Whenever God deals with our heart about something, man, it's that old man trying to get that old man right with God. Look at 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That new man is saved, but this old man has not yet been saved. It hasn't been changed. And I've heard different teachings on this, and we're going to get into the glorified body at some point during this study, but I've heard people say, well, everybody's going to look just like Christ. I personally believe that everybody's going to look just like you look, but whatever it would be perfect. Whatever you would look like in a perfect state with no flaws, no hair loss, no wrinkles, no anything. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if the world could take a perfect Zach. that's what I believe. I believe, you know, that you're going to know who folks are and those things. But I believe whatever you would look like perfect with no problems, no health, I mean, everything just perfect. That's what you're going to, I think that's what you're going to have, a perfect body. It didn't say you're going to be Christ. It said you're going to be like Christ. And when we study the glorified body, Christ did a lot of, in Christ glorified His resurrected body, there's a lot of things that He did, and we're going to study those things. And if we're going to have a body like His, we'll be able to do the same things. And that's an interesting study, but we'll get into that at another time. All right, look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter number 3. I've talked to people, man, before, and they drop out of church, or they get out of church because they just say they're not good enough, or they can't make it, or they can't do it. Your old stinking flesh can't do it without God's help. It cannot do it. You can't do it on your own. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whenever you got saved, you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. In our carnal mind, we can't comprehend that. But spiritually speaking, that's what the Bible says. We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 21. Who shall change our what? Our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to even to subdue all things unto Himself. So this outward man has to be transformed into a sinless, glorified body, just like Christ's, before this adoption of the body can take place. But we've already been adopted into the family of God. Now, our civil law says that an adoption, can't be undone. Once you're adopted into God's family, you are there to stay. There's nothing you can do to get out of that adoption once you've been adopted into God's family. And that, man, that is it. All these lessons and all these things just help prove this thing of eternal security. All right, now I want to look at one more thing. Look over at John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. John chapter 3. There's a false teaching in the world today that's called the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. The brotherhood of man, the fatherhood of God. This is a false teaching that makes everyone saved and makes everyone a child of God and makes God everybody's father. That's a false teaching. Telling everybody that they're saved, everybody that God's their father and their son of God, a child of God. And y'all probably seen things like this. We are all God's children. Have y'all ever seen that before? Bumper stickers, our sayings, our t-shirt. It says we're all God's children. Or don't judge me, I'm a child of God. And all these things. Well, they're not a child of God unless they've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in their heart and save them. And we are not all the children of God. These folks that are out here that are lost and on their way to hell and they're wicked as all get out, man, and just full of the devil, that is not my brother in Christ. That's not my sister in Christ. Look at John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath what? Are y'all there? John 3, 36. He that believeth on the Son hath what? Everlasting life. How long is everlasting? It's for everlasting. Amen. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the what? The wrath of God abideth on him. A lost person is under the wrath of God until they get saved. Yes, Jesus Christ loved the entire world enough to send His Son to die on the cross for their sins, but after that, the wrath of God abides on that person until they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God gives them an opportunity to be saved. I believe that God gives every person in the world an opportunity to get saved. Some of you, He gave more than one opportunity. His mercy, and He was gracious to you, and He gave you more than one opportunity. And until that point, the wrath of God abides on a person. You think about this, that God in heaven sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins, to take your place. He went down to hell and left your sins there, came back up again. He did all that because He loved you, and then you're going to tell Him, no, I don't want salvation? Would you not think that'd make God mad? Could you imagine? I don't know if I can do this illustration very well. I've heard it done before. It's supposedly a true story back years and years ago, a long time ago, that this bridge operator was, there's a waterway coming for like boats and stuff like that, and there was a train track going over the water, and he operated it to lift it up for big boats to go through, then he would bring it back down. And so he was up there working one day, and his son came to work with him, and he was up there with his dad and all those kind of things. And well, a boat started coming by, so he lifted up the bridge and let the boat go through. Well, he gets ready to start lowering it back down, and he's like, "Where'd my son go? Where'd my son go?" And he looked down, and his son was playing in the gearbox for lowering that bridge back down. He's just a little boy, maybe Elijah's age. Well, he gets down and gets ready to go, get down and get his son, and over the radio come, the train's coming. You got to lower the bridge. The train's coming. And it was a passenger train, just full of people. And so he sees his son down there, he sees the train coming in the distance. If he does not lower that thing down there, those people on that train are going to die. They're going to end up dead, train wreck, just horrible problems. And in that moment, he decided that he would lower that bridge. And he said he could hear those gears just breaking his son up and killing him as his son was screaming. And that train went across that bridge and he saw those people laughing. They were drinking drinks and laughing and talking and just having a good old time. And he said, the preacher that told this illustration said that he stood up and was just crying and screaming, saying, "Do you not know what I just did for you? I just killed my son so that you could live." Those people just didn't have a clue, just partying, having a good time, going down that train. Well, you think how God the Father feels. He sent His only Son to die on that cross for our sins. The demons of hell and death came on Him on that cross. And man, He gave His life for us, and the world can just spit in the face of God. They could care less that Christ died on the cross for His sins. I'm telling you that God is not everybody's Father. And we're not all His sons. We're all created by Him. But man, when sin entered into this world, the devil became our father. And the Bible talks about you have your father, the devil. And Jesus Christ, when He saved you, He adopted you back into His family. He redeemed you back from the devil. He created you. You're His creation. But you're no longer His children, but He adopted you back into His family. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I know I didn't do that illustration justice, man, but I'm telling you that what a tragic thing to see your son sitting there dying and getting grinded up. Those people just, I mean, but it's a perfect illustration of what the world does today. And the people today in society, there used to be a little bit of respect for church. There used to be a little bit of respect for God's house. There used to be a little bit of respect for God and Christians. Today, they could care less. They're just in your face about their sin. You try to tell somebody about Christ. Miss Amanda, a couple weeks ago, was up in Jasper with her dad's church, handing out gospel tracts. And I think it was Ian or Brady, a little boy, gave this guy a tract. And he took it and ripped it up and threw it in his face and walked away. A little boy. Amanda was crying, telling me about it. She said she started crying. She said, does he not understand? They don't care. Just spitting in the face of God. Just defiant. I've heard people say, man, I can't wait to, these big celebrities and rock and roll folks that, you know, I'm looking forward to going to that big party in hell. They don't care. Amen. What a tragic thing. You know what? John chapter 8, verse 44, this is right where they're sitting. John 8, 44, this is where you were before you got saved. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And the devil has lied to this world. The devil lied to you before you got saved. He might have even told you you were okay and you didn't need church and you didn't need all that. But he's a liar. Look at Romans chapter 8. Let's look at two more verses and I'll be done. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 34 and 35 and 30 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, for we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing in this life, there's nothing you can do to separate us from being saved, from being a child of God. There's nothing that you can do to be separated from that. Once you're adopted in the family of God, that's it. You're in the family of God. Last verse, John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. Once you got saved, God became your spiritual father. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You went from the devil being your father to God being your father. And you are adopted into the family of God. And man, I'm telling you what, that there's some people I've heard about trying to adopt kids and having all these problems and complications. Man, all that Christ requires for you to be adopted in His family is just believe that He died on the cross for your sins and ask Him to come in your heart and save you. Amen? Just get saved, man. That's all it takes to be adopted into the greatest family in the world. And then there's all these benefits. And there's just not time to go over here in Sunday school this morning, but there's a lot of things that come with God being our Heavenly Father. And, you know, just like a dad would do for his son, whenever your son gets sideways or messes up or doesn't do what he's supposed to, you got to get on to him, don't you? Well, God does the same thing for us, man. He sends a preacher, or He sends somebody our way to kind of help get us back on track again. And we get away from Him, that drawing of the Holy Spirit deals with our heart. We do things we're not supposed to. All those things come as a benefit to God being our Father. But then you can get to the point, I believe this, you're still saved and you're still a child of God, just like if you had a son or a daughter that decided they didn't want to live there no more. They didn't want to listen to your rules. They didn't want to do what you wanted them to do. They did not want the blessings of being in your house. The free, man, I don't understand it for the life of me why a teenager would want to leave and run and get away from their house. But, hey, you get out in the real world and you got to pay for your own car, your own house, your own money, your own food. Amen. If I'd have figured that out, I might have stayed in my parents' house for a long time until they kicked me out. Then I realized the power bill's coming and the water bill's coming and all those things. But you got the benefits of living here. But you decide you don't want to follow those rules no more. You don't want to do it. And then they leave. And they might even get to the point where they say, you know what, I'm not even acknowledging they're my family anymore. But is anything going to change that's your son? No. If that's your son or your daughter, nothing's going to change the fact that that's still your son. The same thing with God. You get saved, you're birthed into the family of God, you're adopted into the family of God, then you decide that you're going to get mad because Brother Zach didn't shake your hand. There's people that do it. They get mad. And so they're going to quit on God, they're going to leave church, and they get so far away from God, they're still a child of God. But they get to the point where they're no longer under the blessings of God. I need the blessings of God in my life. All right, let's all stand. Adopted into the family of God.